Hello, I'm Bex, and welcome to the Week Junior Show. I'm sitting here with three of the team from the Week Junior, the magazine making sense of the world for 8 to 14-year-olds. Today, I'm joined by editor Felicity.
Hello.
Writer Kieran.
Hello.
And assistant editor of the Week Junior's monthly science and nature magazine, Stevie.
Hello.
This week, we'll be talking about rare crocodiles, the history of the World Wide Web, and an amazing new discovery. Plus, we'll be debating whether physical games should be banned from the playground. Which makes me think, that is a great question this week. What was your favourite game at school, Felicity?
Mine was a game my friends and I made up called Hocus Pocus, but thinking back on it now, it was just Tag. With a cool name.
Just a really high-end Tag. Kieran, how about you?
Yeah, so I didn't actually go to school, I was home educated, but with my friends I would always love to play Stuck in the Mud, because it's like Tag, but better.
It's old school, yeah. Okay, I like that. And Stevie, how about you?
So my friend and I also made up a game at school. I would write the first sentence of a really weird story and then my friend would follow it on and then we'd like roll it up and pass it back and forth. Sometimes they got really, really silly.
Oh, I used to play that as well. Yes, I know that game. Yeah, yeah. I was thinking about this. We used to play Sonic the Hedgehog in our playground. So we kind of would all... You're all looking at me like I'm weird. Not for the first time in this podcast. So we'd all be different characters from Sonic and then we'd live out Sonic's life.
Who are you?
I was always Sonic's wife. Which I don't know whether that's a thing. Anyway, what is your favourite fact from this week? What have you learnt, guys? Felicity?
My favourite fact is that the word internet comes from internetwork, where inter means shared.
Kieran, how about you?
Yes, I learnt this week that Afghanistan has fewer flushing toilets than it has TVs.
Hang on, there's so many TVs, there's not enough... There's more... What? There's more TVs than toilets?
Yes, there are more TVs than flushing toilets.
Wow.
Because a lot of the toilets have sort of... different system that wouldn't involve flushing away.
I see. And Stevie, how about you?
So I learnt this week the Royal Mint has made the UK's largest coin. It's the size of a dinner plate and weighs 5 kilograms.
And would not fit in any piggy banks, purses or wallets, I imagine. Absolutely massive. If you've learnt something amazing this week, perhaps you've read it in the magazine, let us know. Email hello@theweekjunior.co.uk or go to Pop Jam and find us at The Week Junior. Next up, it's time for our real or rubbish story. Kieran, what do you have for me this week?
Yes, this week our real or rubbish focuses on a court case that was taken against 60 ducks and geese in France.
So you already want it to be true so badly.
So the flock of birds was accused by a neighbour of being far too noisy with their sort of clucking and... geese noises. Mm-hmm. And the neighbour was complaining that they couldn't get a proper night's sleep if they left their window open because the birds were too noisy, and also they couldn't enjoy their garden because they were distracted by the sounds of the noisy birds. So they took them to court and the birds won, and the judge ruled that they were allowed to be as loud as they wanted to be. So do you think this story's too quackers to be real, or have you deducted that it's the truth?
So hang on, the birds don't have an owner, surely, because who was representing them in court?
So the birds do have an owner, unclear whether they represented themselves in court or whether it was the owner that
just
represented them.
One duck wandering up and down, quacking. Okay, well I like the idea of ducks in court. I'll have a think, because it does also seem ridiculous. If you've not read your copy of the magazine yet and you don't know the answer, feel free to make your guess before the end of the show and you can find out when I do a little bit later. Next up, it's time for our three favourite stories of the week. Felicity, what do you have for me?
My favourite story is from the Science and Tech page, and it's all about Peru's mysterious Nazca lines. Peru is a country in South America, and the lines are artworks that were carved into the country's southern deserts. So a little bit on those first. The Nazca people began building these pictures, which are known as geoglyphs, around 2,500 years ago, and they're amazing. They show shapes and animals, including a whale, a hummingbird, and a spider, and some of them are absolutely huge, around 50 meters long. Anyway, this week's news is that pictures snapped from a satellite in orbit high above the Earth have helped reveal more than 100 new ones, which is pretty exciting. The new discoveries were made by scientists from Japan's Yamagata University and reveal 143 additional shapes that are too faint to be seen with the naked eye.
So they've just been rediscovered now?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I know, isn't it great?
And do you have some pictures in the magazine at all?
We have a picture of the famous Nazca spider, because these the new ones, you can't actually see them with the naked eye, so that they were looked at by using an artificial intelligence computer system that could work out that they were there. And excitingly, the new ones that they found are like human-shaped figures, so possibly they would have been used to guide travellers along pathways, but there's still a lot of like mystery surrounding these world famous lines. And actually I've flown over them.
Oh really?
Yes, fun fact, in a tiny little aircraft, and I thought I was going to be sick, but I wasn't.
Kieran, what have you got for us this week?
So my story is also a little bit tech and science related, and it's about the World Wide Web, which we all use all the time, basically. It was invented in 1989 by a British scientist called Sir Tim Berners-Lee, and it's the connection of all the pages and websites that we use online. This week, Tim Berners-Lee has come up with a new contract, a contract for the web it's called, because he wants to protect his incredible creation from what he sees as the challenges that it's being faced because so many people use it. So a lot of the issues online relate to abuse, you know, people saying mean things, fake news being spread, people's privacy not being kept properly. And so Berners-Lee has decided that this contract is needed. And it has 9 different principles, which are sort of rules. And 3 of them are for sort of everyday people like you and me, 3 are for companies, and 3 are for governments to follow to make it a little bit of a better place to be.
So do we all have to sign a contract now? Is that how it works?
It's up to you, yeah. So governments are asked to sign up, and they promise that they'll make sure that everyone can connect to the internet if they want to, and that they won't snoop on people. Companies, if they want to sign up, they have to promise that they will make sure that the internet is affordable and accessible so that everyone can use it. And we, as citizens, are encouraged that we be respectful and polite online. And if you break the rules, then you get your name taken off.
Wow. And do you think people will do this?
So I think it's, I mean, I think in terms of individuals, it's hard to know, but certainly in terms of governments, 3 governments have already signed up, and Facebook, Google, and Microsoft, which are 3 of the biggest online companies, have also decided that they'll take part. And it just, I mean, it just shows how much the World Wide Web has grown since it was invented. So he invented it actually to share the results of experiments with different scientists. That was how he saw the World Wide Web being used. But of course, now it's used for, you know, everyday things that people use all the time. And we've got a link in the magazine to the first ever web page, which is still up online. So if you type in tinyurl.com/twj-www, you can go and see the first ever web page and see how much it's changed since then.
I imagine it is very different to what we're used to now.
Yeah, it looks sort of like a Word document. That's sort of how it looks compared to obviously the high tech that we've got today.
And Stevie, what do you have for us this week?
So my favourite story is from the Animals and Environment page, and it's about some really strange-looking crocodiles. So scientists from the Zoological Society of London have discovered more than 200 rare baby crocodiles in the Asian country of Nepal. The reptiles are known as gharial crocodiles, or fish-eating crocodiles, and are critically endangered. They're so strange looking because they've got 3 bumps on the end of their snout, and they use these bumps to catch fish and crustaceans, which are like crabs and similar creatures to crabs. Males can grow more than 5 meters long and weigh up to 250 kilograms. And it's the first time gharials have been recorded in the area for around 30 years, which is crazy.
So were they like looking for them? Did they just happen to stumble across them? How did it happen?
Well, they didn't even know they were there. Apparently they stumbled across them and then were shocked to find them because they didn't realise they were still part of that region. They were still, you know, habitable in that region. So there's loads of other stories like this have been, like animals have been forgotten by science and things like that. So the Fernandina giant tortoise was extinct for more than 100 years, but in 2019, researchers found one on the island of Fernandina in the Galapagos.
So the animals can just kind of disappear and then come back again?
Yeah, apparently.
A big comeback, like a big re-return. That's amazing. Fantastic. Thank you very much, Stevie. Next up, it's time for our big debate. Now, this is where we want you to get in touch. Last week, we discussed on the podcast whether Christmas songs should be banned from shops. Here's what some of you had to say.
So Hector thought that a compromise would be a good idea. Here's what he said.
Hi, it's Hector, 9 years on from London. I don't think we should ban Christmas songs from shops, but we should put them on low volume so that it doesn't interrupt conversations or drive the staff mad.
Someone else on Pop Jam got in touch to say, of course not, everyone loves Christmas songs and the feeling of Christmas.
So someone else on Pop Jam wrote, no, don't ban them, but start playing them on the 1st of December.
I think that's probably quite a popular opinion, isn't it? 1st of December, yeah, Christmas kicks agreed. Off. So if you want to get involved in the big debate, it's really easy. As you heard, you can get in touch on Pop Jam at The Week Junior, or perhaps you can email us at hello@theweekjunior.co.uk. Plus, if you want to record a message and we will play it out on the podcast, that is super easy as well. Just go and grab a grown-up, record what you think of this week's debate and send it in hello@theweekjunior.co.uk. This week, we are asking whether some games should be banned from the playground at school. So who can tell me a little bit more about this?
I can. So this is kind of a funny story. It's a head teacher at a primary school in Brighton has banned her pupils from playing physical games in the playground. Under the new rules, pupils are allowed to touch each other if they are playing gentle clapping games, but activities such as tag are banned. And the head teacher, whose name is Joanne Smith, she says that her gentle hands program, as it's called, is designed to stop students from getting injured. So the debate is, should we ban games from the playground that are too physical?
Interesting. I have a thought on this, but first I'm going to see if Kieran and Stevie can change my mind. Each of you going to have 1 minute to state your case. Do we have a timer at the ready? So, Stevie, you're up first. This is your chance to say why you agree with this Brighton at primary school. You've got 1 minute. Whenever you're ready, go for it.
So, I am for this because physical games like tag or football can sometimes be too rough for people. It's fair for everyone if teachers encourage pupils to play safer games together. Some children might take it too far and end up hurting others. This stops students from wanting to play rough games anyway. If someone gets hurt, it can distract teachers from what else is going on in the playground, which can lead to further accidents. And non-physical games like telling stories, reading, or playing board games include everyone, like shy children or pupils with like mobility problems. So everyone can get involved too. So if pupils want to play rougher games, they can do so when the school ends. This is what I think.
And there we go. Yeah, that's great. It's under a minute. You're fine. As long as you're not over a minute, that's the important thing. So Kieran, you've got 1 minute to explain why you disagree with Stevie and you don't think these games should be banned.
Correct.
So whenever you're ready, take it away.
So I disagree with this ban. I think it's both unnecessary and I also think it's actually quite damaging, because when you spend all morning in a classroom, there is nothing more important than getting that half hour of running around, having fun, getting the blood pumping, burning off a bit of steam before you go back into the class. And I actually think if pupils don't have the opportunity to do that, they're actually going to disrupt classes more often because they will have all this sort of extra energy that they wouldn't normally have. And I think the point about some games being too rough is definitely fair, but if you don't sort of work out where that boundary is, then you don't learn so much. And actually getting into scrapes and falling over is an important part of building up your quick recovery to that and your resilience, which I think is really important. And you also learn other things, like you practice your sense of balance, teamwork, all that sort of thing. And I also think that each pupil should be trusted to decide how they want to spend their free time in their breaks. And as long as they're not deliberately hurting anyone, why shouldn't they be able to do that?
Oh, 59 seconds all in. Congratulations. Felicity, what do you think? Have you been persuaded either way by these guys?
Oh, pretty close. Good arguments on both sides. But I think I'm slightly persuaded by Team Kieran. I'm Team Kieran this week, I think. But I think this goes back to tag was one of my favourite games at school. So I think I'd be outraged if I wasn't allowed to play Hocus Pocus.
If you've got an opinion and you want to let us know all about it, go and email us hello@theweekjunior.co.uk or send us in a recorded message and maybe you'll hear your voice next week here on the podcast. Now it's time for the recap of our real or rubbish story. Can you just tell us what it was again, Kieran?
Yes, so this was a court case, a legal battle over some ducks and geese in France. The neighbour to where they were living said they were being too noisy, but the judge decided that they could be as noisy as they liked.
I feel like people would be angry about loud birds, because they can be, they can squawk and they can quack quite loudly. And if your bedroom is next to a bird, an aviary, a bird place is what I was going to say, it's going to be loud. I'm going to say it's real. I'm going to go out there on a limb and say it's a real story.
Okay, can we get a drum roll? It's real!
Yay!
You're on a roll!
Oh my goodness, finally, I'm winning some. Yes, it's a real story.
It's completely real, and it follows on from a story we had in the magazine earlier this year, which I loved, about a French cockerel called Maurice, who was also taken to court for being too noisy, and he also won his case.
Why are people suing all these birds?
I don't know. Something's going on in France.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for that. That is pretty much it from the Week Junior Show this week. Goodbye to Felicity.
Goodbye.
To Kieran.
Goodbye.
And Stevie.
Goodbye.
Drop us a comment on PopJam at The Week Junior, or email us hello@theweekjunior.co.uk if you want to get in touch. And don't forget to rate, review and subscribe wherever it is you get your podcast from. Bye.
If you want to get your hands on a copy of the Week Junior magazine, we're offering a 6-week free trial. To get yours, head over to dennismags.co.uk/theweekjunior and use the code PODCAST.